A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away. Those are the words at the start of all Star Wars films. In episode 1, we were introduced to Anakin Skywalker, a 9-year-old boy who was chosen to end the battle between good and evil. He has spent his entire childhood along with his mother, in slavery, until he was discovered by a Jedi. So if you're not familiar with Star Wars, Jedis are the peacekeepers of the galaxy, the good guys, where they defend the people against the attacks of the dark side, the bad guys. Anakin was freed from slavery by the Jedi, but his mother was left behind. As he leaves his mother to undergo Jedi training, his mother promised that she will see him again, and she will be with him at all times. Now we know that that promise was impossible to keep because no one lives forever, no one except Jesus. Today's sermon is about Paul's ministry in Corinth, and Jesus promised to be with him at all times by telling Paul that, "I am with you. I am with you." Now, Paul was not a Jedi, nor was he chosen to end the battle between good and evil. He was chosen by Jesus for a very important mission. His mission is to tell the world about Jesus. Who is he? Jesus is Christ, the one who won the battle over evil. In verse 1, Paul left Athens. He went to Corinth. So why Corinth? In Paul's time, Corinth is an important city in the Roman Empire where trading prospered. With the flourishing of trades, it brought many people from various backgrounds and cultures and religions into the city. It was one of the religions was the worship of Aphrodite, the Greek goddess of love and sex. This religion did not come from God, but from man's own sinful desire to engage in meaningless acts and worship of sex. In fact, Corinthians' worship of sex are so famous throughout the Roman Empire that the word to Corinthianize means to be engrossed in sexually immoral lifestyle. With that twisted man-made religion and traits flowing in and out of Corinth, it is no wonder why Jesus put Paul in Corinth to start his second leg of mission, and because the people there needed saving, and if trade can flow from Corinth, so can the word of God. After arriving from Corinth, Paul kept to his Jews first and Gentile later policy. In verse 2 to 3, we read that he settled in the Jewish community where he met Aquila and his wife Priscilla. They are Christian Jews who came from Italy to Corinth due to the expulsion by all Jews by the Roman Emperor Claudius. Claudius viewed the Jews as nothing more than religious troublemakers, a disruption to his peaceful city Rome. So he kicked them all out. Well, while Paul was staying with the married couple, we know that he preached only on every Sabbath, trying to persuade both Jews and Gentiles, and worked the other days of the week as a tent maker to support his ministry. As much as Paul depends on God's providence, he worked hard to support himself. Why? Because he wanted to avoid putting the financial trouble burden on the new church that he was establishing. As much as Paul depends on God's providence, he worked hard. We know that Paul's mission was to tell the world about Jesus, not making tents. That's not his main job. In verse 5, we read that Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia and they brought along the financial support for Paul's ministry. God provided so that Paul could concentrate on his preaching full time. Their financial support was later mentioned in Paul's second letter to this very same church. He wrote, "I robbed other churches by accepting support from them in order to serve you. And when I was with you and was in need, I did not burden anyone, for brothers who came from Macedonia supplied my need." Therefore, with God's providence through Silas, Timothy, and the other churches, Paul occupied himself with the word, verse 5. Which means he focused exclusively to preach to both Jews and Greeks the message of Jesus, not just on the Sabbath, but all the time. Paul's message of Jesus is this: Jesus is Christ. Jesus won the battle over evil. Therefore, salvation is not earned by works, but only through Jesus. Did that message sit well with the Jews? Nah. To them, the only way to salvation is by keeping the law of Moses. That was fulfilled by Jesus. The Jews were so caught up in their own self-righteousness that they failed to recognize Jesus as Christ, the one who fulfilled the law. What did they do? They killed him. In verse 6, their opposition was so great that Paul shook out his garments and he said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I'm innocent. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." In other words, "I'm done warning you. You are guilty of your own eternal death. I will take my message to the Greeks." Paul's words in frustration echoes what God's prophet Ezekiel said to the Israelites in Ezekiel 33 verse 4. "If anyone who hears the sound of the trumpet does not take warning, and the sword comes and take him away, his blood will be upon his own head." Like Ezekiel warning Israel, Paul warned the Jews that the only way to salvation is through Jesus. But did they heed his warning? No. What did they do instead? They opposed and reviled him. So after being verbally abused by the Jews, Paul left the synagogue to bring the message to the Gentiles. You would think that when Paul was rejected from the synagogue, he would keep his distance. Paul did the exact opposite. He's a stubborn fella. In verse 7, we read, he went next door to the house of Titius Justus, a God-fearing Greek. He started a rival church in a home right next to the synagogue. How do you think that would make the Jews feel? To make matters worse, verse 8 tells us that Crispus, the synagogue ruler, accepted Paul's message of Jesus and became a Christian. In business sense, this is like having an employee whom you fired start a rival company right next door, having your manager working against you, getting all your business. Crispus and his entire household became Christians at the cost of his position as the synagogue leader. The establishment of the new church next door and the loss of their leaders infuriated the Jews, and they intensified their oppositions against the message of Jesus. The shift of Paul's preaching patterns from public to private setting can be seen in our world today. For example, our missionaries that we prayed for moved from preaching in public places where religious groups or government groups violently oppose to private homes where smaller crowds are willing to listen and obey. Many overseas missionaries start from a home base, and these people who open their homes for Christian ministry, like Titius Justus of Corinth, displayed great courage and commitment in the face of opposition. Paul's preaching to the Gentiles was fruitful, as many Corinthians believed and were baptized, as we read in verse 8, compared to his preaching to the Jews, where only Crispus and his household believed and accepted. With many Corinthians believing Jesus, it disheartened Paul when he saw how his Jewish brothers and sisters aggressively opposed his message. At this low point, Jesus, the one whom Paul preached about, appeared to Paul and encouraged him. Jesus told him, "Do not be afraid, but go on speaking. Do not be silent. I am with you. No one will attack you, for I have many in this city who are my people." Jesus promised Paul that he will always be with Paul, unlike Anakin Skywalker's mother, whom I mentioned in the start of the sermon. Surprise, surprise, she died. And her absence in Anakin's life set his path towards the dark side, to become Darth Vader, the evil one. Jesus, on the other hand, died, but did he stay dead? No, he didn't. God raised him up from the dead, and he was taken up to heaven to sit at God's right hand. He was present with Paul all the time through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts the unbelievers of their guilt in regards to sin, righteousness, and judgment. Jesus was quite clear what Paul needed to do. Keep on speaking and do not be silent. This does not mean that the oppositions will be removed or Paul can call it quits. Jesus wanted Paul to keep on preaching, as there are many people in Corinth that needed to hear the message of Jesus. He promised to protect Paul from harm, like how he promised Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1 verse 8. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you. Having faith in Jesus who promised to rescue him if he faces trouble, Paul stayed a year and a half, teaching the word of God among the Corinthians. Verse 11. The promise of protection was fulfilled when Paul was attacked by the Jews. In verse 12, the angry Jews brought Paul to the governor Gallio of Achaia and accused him of teaching the people to worship the Jewish God differently to the law of Moses. They wanted the Roman governor to silence Paul, or at least make an example out of him, as a warning to those who dare challenge the Jewish way of worship. What the Jews did not expect is that Paul got Gallio on his side, a part that even Gallio himself is not aware of. In verse 14 to 16, before Paul could speak, Gallio dismissed the case by saying, "If it were a matter of wrongdoing or vicious crimes of Jews, I would have reason to accept your complaint. But since it's a matter of questions about words and names and your own laws, see it to yourselves. I refuse to be a judge of these things." And what did he do? He drove them out of the tribunal. Now, being a Roman, Gallio probably shared the same view as Claudius. The Jews are nothing but troublemakers who are pedantic with their laws and rules. Therefore, Gallio decided it would be a waste of his time to be involved in Paul's case. However, it is clear that all these things were orchestrated by Jesus, who has previously promised to protect Paul, to protect him from harm. Gallio was being used by Jesus to protect Paul. The case was thrown out even before the trial began. This outcome was significantly different for Paul. In the previous chapters, in Acts 16, Paul was beaten and imprisoned in Philippi when he was brought to the court. In Acts 17, when he was considered making some trouble in the society, Jason has to put up a good behavior bond for him in Thessalonica. No, not this Jason, but the Jason of Thessalonica. The verdict was the final strike for the Jews, and they reacted violently. In verse 17, they all turned to Sosthenes, the synagogue ruler, and beat him in front of the tribunal due to his failures in delivering the verdict they wanted. You got to pity poor old Sosthenes, who probably became the synagogue ruler after Crispus. He might not have read in his fine print in his job description to be a punching bag. But what is important is, did Gallio do anything about it? No, he paid no attention, as he probably recognized that it was a stunt to get him involved in the whole shebang of the Jews. But more importantly, Jesus did not cause Gallio to do anything, because rescuing Sosthenes will not help Paul in preaching his message. So, after that exciting episode and narrow escape, Paul continued to stay and preach in Corinth for many, many days. He then left Corinth and the young church in the hands of Silas and Timothy. Before leaving Corinth, in the town of Sancre, Paul performed a Jewish ritual. He shaved his head at the end of the vow that he took. Although it was not mentioned what was the vow about, shaving of hair was a Jewish cultural sign, a sign of thankfulness to God for his protection. Being a former Jew, it is no surprise that Paul continued that tradition, since it does not contradict the message of Jesus. Paul is also known to embrace other traditions of those he would like to win over, as long as those traditions do not contradict the message of Jesus. As noted in his first letter to the Corinthians, Paul wrote, "To the Jews I became as the Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, although not myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being the outside of the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I become weak, that I may win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some." Most importantly, Paul did that for the sake of the gospel. The gospel is about Jesus. Paul did that all to tell the people about Jesus. Despite the fierce oppositions faced in Corinth, Paul did not give up on the Jews. In verse 19, when Aquila, Priscilla, and Paul arrived in Ephesus, where did Paul begin to preach? He began at the synagogues. The Jews in the synagogues were more open to his message of Jesus and wanted Paul to stay longer. But since Paul's mission was to tell the world about Jesus, not just the Corinthians or the Ephesians, he has to be on the road again. Paul went where God wanted him to be, and he told that to the Ephesians, "I will return to you if God wills." With the Ephesian church planted, Paul left Aquila and Priscilla there and continued his mission throughout the region to tell the world about Jesus, that Jesus is Christ. Like the opposition that Paul faced in Corinth and throughout Acts, the opposition to Jesus is still real and fierce today. Like what we have prayed for, you just have to read the news, the persecution and beheading of Christians, the burning of churches, the redefinition of marriage, the killing of babies in clinics. These events are the outcome from the rejection of Jesus. Even though these are intense oppositions, Jesus still wants us to tell the world about him and how he came to save the world. You may have heard about Jesus and accept him as your Lord and Savior. But what about your friends? What about your relatives? Your neighbors? What is holding you back from talking about Jesus? Is it the feeling of being ridiculed by your friends when you tell them about Jesus? Or is it the feeling of awkwardness in family gatherings when you tell your relatives about Jesus? Remember what Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, but go on speaking, and do not be silent. Why? For I am with you." Jesus is with you. We are called to be his witness. He will help you and teach you what to say. He will convict the unbelievers of their guilt and need for repentance. Share Jesus like those who share the same interests like you. For example, a Star Wars fan like Eamon and myself, or an ice cream lover like Albert, or a knitting enthusiast like Joyce, or bearded men like Pete and Joel. Although Paul is a Christian, he kept some Jewish traditions to allow himself to talk more freely with the Jews. If I do not talk about Jesus, how else will I be able to win over a Star Wars fan from the real dark side of real life? They will be forever separated from God and left to burn in hell. If no one told you about Jesus, how did you hear about him and accept him? We can challenge ourselves to talk about Jesus in our homes during Christmas parties or Melbourne Cup Day barbecues 2 days away. Seize the opportunity to talk about Jesus and be bold. The Holy Spirit is with you. Personally, I had the experience of mental blank and my mouth going dry when a friend of mine said, "All religions are the same. There's no one God." "No, it isn't." That was my intellectually and theologically powerful response. And that was the end of the conversation. I didn't want to offend him, but I have no idea what I was supposed to say or how or why I disagree with him. It goes to show that I was not emotionally ready, nor was I theologically equipped to make a defense for the hope I have in Jesus. Looking back, if the same conversation arises again, I will be better prepared after much time studying the Bible, praying, and trusting God will put the words in my mouth. At the end of the day, remember that God is sovereign and nothing is impossible for him. He uses anything, everything, and everyone to achieve his plans for us, even turning hearts and minds to follow his cause. Therefore, do not be afraid, but go on speaking about Jesus. Jesus goes with us, and he even goes before us, speaking to the hearts and minds of unbelievers. Like in Corinth and Ephesus, Jesus has many people in your workplace, your schools, your neighborhoods, and that he calls. How will they answer his call if they do not hear? So how would they hear if you do not speak? Be encouraged to know that as we continue to tell the world about Jesus, he will work in their hearts, and many will repent and believe that Jesus is Christ. It is the gospel itself that is the power of God, not the cleverness of our answer or reason. We do not need to be persuasive, we just need to be clear. We need to give honest biblical reasons and answers and leave the rest to the power of God. Therefore, my friends, do not be afraid to tell the world about Jesus, because Jesus is with you.